I'm excited to be here with you all today to speak about peace beyond peace, and I will explain what the meaning of that title is. But first of all, let's bring ourselves to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you so much for bringing us all here tonight safely to worship you. I pray that you would give me the words to speak your light and your truth to these people, even though I'm the youngest one in the room. And I pray that your words through me would inspire or bless someone in some way. In your son's Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so peace beyond peace. This was a phrase that just came to me one night when I was praying. I live a pretty chaotic lifestyle, as many of you know. I travel over 1,000 miles a week, as Miss Missouri, sometimes 2,000 or 3,000, sometimes less than 1,000. But when I lay down at night, usually there are things racing through my head for the next day because I have to go somewhere where I've never been before and speak to a huge room of people and captivate them and be inspirational every day. So it's very exerting. And I was praying one night that God would give me the strength to get through, and I felt like this saying just came to my head, peace beyond peace. I was like, is that a verse in the Bible? So I looked it up, and it doesn't say in the Bible, peace beyond peace, but it says a peace that surpasses all understanding. And that is a verse that I've heard many times here at church and growing up. So that verse is Philippians 4:7. And it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So that verse is really going to be our focus throughout this message. I will use a lot of verses because if you came to my last sermon, I like to use a lot of scripture. So if you have your Bible, you can try to keep up with me, but you might not be able to. It can be a challenge for you. So I'm going to break my message up into a couple different pieces of ways that we can use peace in our life to understand the way God is working through us and walking us through life. So the first way, the first chapter of my sermon is God always provides. And then the second one is when God has other plans. And then the third one is when everything is seen as a blessing. So these are things that I think if we change our mindset. We live in a world, and especially in today's time, where it's very hectic and stressful, and we worry about a lot of things because we want to have nice things, and we want to be successful, and we want to do a lot, and maybe you're anxious about something that you're currently going through, or maybe you have fear about something in the future that is unforeseen or that you don't have control over, but we serve the God of peace and the God of everlasting hope and everlasting promise and everlasting love. And that is what sustains us through everything. But we have to keep our eyes fixed on that or the world will seem overwhelming. So just a little context on Philippians, the book of Philippians. It was written by Apostle Paul. And it's one of the 13 letters that he wrote to the church that has his name on it. And we all know that Paul used to persecute Jesus and talk against the church. And he tried to turn people away from Christ, and he was on his way to Damascus to do that when there was a huge flash of light, and Jesus spoke to him and said, "Why are you trying to turn my people away from me?" And Paul was blind for 3 days, and then Jesus asked a Christ follower to pray for him, and Jesus restored his sight and healed him, and Paul said, "I will be your witness to the end of my life. I will speak of your works throughout the world." And that's exactly what he did. And he was persecuted for that. He was imprisoned several times. One time he was imprisoned for 2 years. And that is where they believe he wrote the book or the letter, Philippians. And he was eventually, sadly, beheaded for his work. But it took Jesus performing a miracle for him to believe. But he was full of so many truths. My last message, All Things in Love, was we focused on 1 Corinthians. And Paul also wrote 1 Corinthians. So I'm a big fan of Paul. So let's get started with our first part of my sermon, God Always Provides. And we're going to look at Matthew 6:25-34. So I'm going to read that passage. And in a lot of Bibles, the passage is called Do Not Worry. Matthew 6:25-34. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is a very famous passage. It's one of my favorite passages because I'm kind of a hippie. And a way that God really reveals his beauty to me is through nature. And I love when it talks about the flowers are clothed more beautifully than we are. And think of how much more God loves us than he loves the flowers. So I think that's beautiful. And I love the part, verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and all these things will be added unto you. If you can first pursue God, then all of his blessings will be added unto you. But that's the first thing he asks of us. So let me tell you all a couple times in my life, just personal experiences, I'm sure some of you know these stories, where I fretted about the future, but God had it all taken care of. So for me, I think the first thing where I thought I had my whole future figured out was college. And I wanted to go to the University of Missouri for journalism because that's what they're known for. And my whole life, I wanted to be a Golden Girl, the prestigious dance team I'm sure you all have heard of. And I interviewed for a big scholarship at Oral Roberts University in Tulsa, Oklahoma, due to a certain boy. And I ended up winning $80,000 to this school I had very little desire to go to. And I auditioned for the Golden Girls, and over 100 freshmen auditioned, and 13 of those freshmen got called back. And I was nine of the 13 made it, and I was one of the four that didn't make it. And it was the night of my senior prom. I had the perfect dress. It was supposed to be the best night of my high school career, and I cried the whole way home. And tried not to cry in all of my pictures because I knew I was going to go to Oral Roberts University because Mizzou didn't give me any scholarship and I had no reason to go there except if I wanted a bunch of debt. So I went to ORU not wanting to go there, very anxious. I think the day I went to ORU was the most nerve-wracking day of my life. I'm not an anxious person most of the time. I'm pretty laid back. Because I have two older brothers, and you have to be laid back if you're the youngest of two older brothers and you're a girl. But I remember being very anxious my freshman year of college. I gained 15 pounds. I was very unhappy and doubtful of what God was doing with my life. And as some of you may know, I had a very successful college career. I was able to graduate in 3 years with no debt, top of my journalism class, and 5 weeks later I was crowned Miss Missouri. And I had to walk in faithfulness through all of that because it would have been very easy for me to give up on where God wanted me to be and transfer to another school and come back home where I was comfortable. But I prayed and felt like God wanted me to stay at ORU. And the boy even went to Mizzou. And I would have loved to have gone to Mizzou with him, but I really felt like God wanted me at ORU. And he ended up being 100% right. And his plans were bigger than mine. And that's the third part of my message today, is that God has different plans for us, but a lot of times they are so much better than anything we could have thought of. So that's the first way that God provided for me. And also, I would have not been able to go to that school if it wasn't for the scholarship that I was given. And that was also God could orchestrate his plan for me to go there. And I probably would not have gone there anyways if it wasn't for the scholarship. And then competing for Miss Missouri, it requires a lot of resources, a lot of outfits, and to be completely honest with you, my mom and I bargain shopped for Miss Missouri. I think the dress I got the most compliments on was $5 on sale at Dillard's, And I think it was important to both my parents that I worked hard for my goals. So I worked at Olive Garden my sophomore year of college to pay for film school in Los Angeles. And I worked on campus to pay for my Miss Missouri evening gown and had to make little measly payments every couple weeks on it. But God provided, and I might have had one of the cheaper wardrobes at Miss Missouri. I designed my talent costume, but that's the costume that I wore at Miss America because it was the costume that God gave me the passion to design. So there is another way that he provided for me. Now, for Miss America, they did take good care of me. I had plenty of expensive clothing for that that I probably didn't need. And then this year, as Miss Missouri, a lot of people asked me, if I get paid a lot. Miss Missouri does not make money. It's more of a year of service, and I'm more reimbursed for my mileage and my speaking appearances. I get a small fee sometimes. But just last week, or the other week, I was in Mexico doing service work for Children's Miracle Network, and a man handed me a check for $100, and he made it out to me. And I said, "You need to make it out to Children's Miracle Network because that's what the fundraiser's for." And he said, "No, I want you." He's like, "I've already donated $100 to Children's Miracle Network. I want you to have this $100 because I know all that you do, and I know it's probably really expensive, and I want to help you out." And the church has also done that for me this year. And that is just another example of how God always provides for us, especially if it's to fulfill the works that he has for us. So I'm only 22, just recently turned 22, and God has already shown me that he provides. If I had $20, it would get me through 2 weeks of groceries. And I'm sure that you all can relate to that. And maybe there have been times when you felt like you didn't have enough money. But if you follow the plans that God has for you with faithfulness, you will find that he always provides for you more than enough, more than we would expect, overabundantly. So I love Psalm 55:22. It's a short one. "Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken." So I think a lot of times we feel weighted down by our stress and anxiety and what we're going through. But the Bible tells us to cast our fears on the Lord and cast our cares on the Lord, and he will carry them and keep us upright. So that's nice to know that we're not on our own, and we don't always have to carry the burden of what we're going through. God carries the burden of us. And I love that poem, Footprints in the Sand, about the man who only saw one set of footprints when he really needed Jesus to walk beside him. And Jesus said, "That was when I carried you." Because God really does carry us through everything. That's what I think. So now we're going to look at another passage in Matthew. It's Matthew 7 through 12, and it's "Ask, Seek, Knock" is the title a lot of Bibles give. So it says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you, then, being evil," which in this context means imperfect, "know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law of the prophets." So I used that passage last time I spoke about doing all things in love, but at the beginning, it really talks about, it applies to peace because it talks about if you ask, God will give. And there are some times when we ask and we feel that God doesn't give, but that's really the next part of my message. And when God actually does give us, but maybe not the same gift we were expecting. So here's another little story for you all. And I hope my stories bless you. They're only to show you ways that God has revealed himself to me. So a couple years ago, a mentor of mine in college, she was Miss Missouri 2001 and went to law school and musical theater school in Tulsa. I babysat her kids for her all through college, and she's just lived a really neat life. And I said, "If you could give me one piece of advice of what I should do in college, what would it be?" And she said, "Study abroad." And I thought, well, that's not going to happen because I'm on a path to get out of college in 3 years, and I have it all paid for, and I don't want to mess that up. And so one day I was sitting in class, and I was thinking, okay, if I could study abroad, hypothetically, where would I go and what would I study? And I thought I would go to Oxford, England. I've never been out of the country, and I would study drama. So I Googled it, and it was a real thing. Don't ask me how. I don't know. Maybe someone was whispering in my ear. It was a midsummer drama program at Oxford, but it's through the Yale School of Drama, which amazing actors like Meryl Streep have come out of. So I wanted to apply right away, and I prayed about it, and for some reason I felt like God was telling me not to apply, and I didn't understand why. I was like, come on, I want to go to this thing, and it's a real thing that I thought up myself. And I decided to wait, and I didn't apply, and then I won Miss Missouri. And if I would have applied, it was going to be very difficult to get in, and there was a non-refundable $500 fee to hold my spot. And so that was God. I thought that God had other plans for me, but it turns out he still wanted me to go there because I prayed about it this year and still felt like God wanted me to apply. So I applied, did not think I was going to get in. I have minimal drama training compared to the people that were auditioning for this program from Juilliard and NYU. And I went to Chicago and auditioned, prayed and felt at peace about it, and got notified last month that I got in. So I'll be going to Oxford, England this summer and using my scholarship money from winning Miss Missouri to have the entire trip paid for. So I'm very blessed, but it's all due to God's faithfulness because I probably wouldn't have been able to do the program if I wouldn't have won Miss Missouri because now I have the money to go. But that's just another example of how God provides, but it's not always in the package that we are expecting. And there's a thing that Max, my grandma told me that I said his name wrong last night. How do you say his name, Grandma? Lucado. Max Lucado. My grandma got me this amazing Bible a couple years ago. It's the Max Lucado Devotional Bible, and it's my favorite Bible because he has a lot of great things on the side. But he said, God knows our needs and promises to provide for them. We are to trust him with an attitude of thanksgiving and find contentment in what we are given. I thought that really summed up God always provides. So now the next part is when God has other plans. And so we're going to look at 1 Thessalonians 5:18, which Paul also wrote. And it says, give thanks in every circumstance, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And I have found in my life, sometimes it is really hard to give God thanks if you're going through something hard. Who can relate to that? Anybody relate to that? Where you really don't want to say thank you to God because your faith is really being tested. You feel like you're being persecuted for something you did in a past life, if that was a real thing. So I have definitely felt that way in my life. Just different experiences that I've had where my life was really painful and difficult for me, like my freshman year of college. I didn't have a roommate, gained the freshman 15. My parents had just gotten divorced. It was a very, very hard year in my life. But I learned through that season to be thankful because God is always taking care of us. And he's sharpening us and making us better for things that we can't see in the future. And I honestly don't think if I would have gone through all of that, my freshman year of college, and pushed through that, I wouldn't be the person that I am today. And it's made me so much more human. I have so much more empathy for people, and I'm so much more appreciative of all the beautiful ways that God takes care of us. I remember walking on campus, and the littlest things made my entire day when I was depressed. I would say I was depressed my freshman year of college. If I saw two squirrels chasing each other, that would just make me feel better. And I don't know what it is about God that makes you feel happy, but for me, it's nature. That's the number one way that God reveals his beauty to me. So I already kind of told you that my college plans weren't what I had, but God gave me another package that was much more beautiful. And another thing that didn't work out the way I wanted it to was Miss America. I'm sure some of you followed my journey to Miss America, and my dream my whole life growing up was to be Miss America. That's why I've been dancing my whole life and doing public speaking. Really, all of that, even though they were things that I love, I thought they were preparing me for Miss America. And it really honestly took me until late February of this year. So Miss America was in September. It took me about let's see, September, October, November, December. It took me about half a year for me to realize that God wanted me to be Miss Missouri. Because after Miss America, I felt very discouraged and deflated, and I still wanted to do the job of Miss Missouri with excellence, but in my mind, I was supposed to be Miss America, which is a little conceited, I know. But it is so true. Now I have 2 months left, a little less than 2 months, and if Willy Wonka or someone, Genie from Aladdin, popped out of the sky and said, here's a golden ticket, you can go back to Miss America and win Miss America, I would say no thank you, because I have had the most rewarding year of my life, and I've had such a concentrated year. By concentrated, I mean it's been so much more dense and fulfilling than anything I ever would have thought it would be, because I get to give back to my state that's given me so much, and my different opportunities and relationships have overlapped, and it's really blessed me, hopefully blessed a lot of other people too. But I wouldn't trade it for anything, not even being Miss America, because if I was Miss America, it would be a completely different experience. I want to be around the people of my state. I'd be more of a national brand to promote the organization. And as Miss Missouri, I really get to promote what I'm passionate about and the situations that I want to. And a lot of those have been groups and organizations that have made me who I am. So it's been so meaningful and rewarding to me. Not the package that I wanted. It took me 6 months of feeling sorry for myself, I guess you could say, or I guess disappointed would be a better word, because I was still grateful for the gift of being Miss Missouri, but now I see that was the most beautiful gift he could have given me. So there you go. Maybe think of a time in your life where things didn't work out the way that you wanted them to, but if you really look, maybe it worked out more beautiful than the way that you thought it would. So there's a quote. My mom got me this book, Whispers of Encouragement, Daily Inspiration for Women. She got it for me for Easter in 2013. I read it every day. They're just short little pieces of encouragement because words really encourage me. And there's a quote in there. I'm going to come back to this later because it has some really good stuff about peace in it. But there's a quote in there by Ellen Sauna, and it says, take hours, minutes, and moments as they come, one at a time. Don't run ahead. Do what you can now, and at the end of the day, let it go. Put all that is undone in God's hands. God is at work in ways you cannot see. Trust him, sleep, rest, relax in his arms. I love that line that says, God is at work in ways you cannot see. That's really the mystery and beauty of life, is that we don't know what tomorrow will bring. It might bring bad things, but it brings a lot more good than bad. And I'm kind of poetic, so I'm sorry if I sound like a hippie, but I like to think of God as a tree and me as a bird. And when life gives me storms, I can hide in the trunk of the tree. Or it says in the Bible how God protects us under his wings. And a lot of birds, like swans or ducks or geese, they will keep their babies under their wings. The babies can actually sit on them when the mom is in the water and the babies don't even get wet. They're under her wings. And I think that's just an image of how God protects us and keeps us safe. So now the last part. So we've talked about when God provides, when God has other plans, and sometimes he's really funny about it, ironic. But the third one is when everything is seen as a blessing. And by everything, I mean everything. Even the hard stuff that you would never go through again for all the money in the world. So I told you how God reveals himself to me in the beauty of the world, but let me tell you all just how crazy it is that we're even in existence. So for us to live on Earth, I also love science, so stick with me through my little science lesson. For us to have, for even the possibility of there to be life sustained on Earth, the Earth has to be in the exact position it is now from the sun. It has to have the exact gravitational pull that it has right now from the moon. And if the sun, or if the Earth were any closer or further away from the sun, it would be too hot or too cold. The way the elements are set up for us to have rain, sometimes not at a convenient time before church, but just all the different ways that the Earth is set up makes it possible for us to have life. And we have not found another planet to sustain life. And I've been to space camp, so excuse me, I'm a huge space nerd. But that's really random. But anyways, I think sometimes we forget about that, and we get caught up in our immediate problems, like, I don't know, I got a flat tire, or someone was mean to me, and we are hurtling through space and time at an infinite speed that math cannot calculate. We're basically hanging on an invisible piece of string, because in the scheme of outer space, the Earth is invisible. We could be inside a black hole for all that we know. And God has created the Earth and outer space so that we are safe. Yes, we do have natural disasters, which isn't fun, but just remember how important or how insignificant, I don't want to say insignificant, but how tiny we are compared to everything else and how much depends on God for us to even be alive. So I think if he can handle all that, he can handle the day-to-day stuff. And there's a poem, it's probably one of the most famous poems in the world, called The Red Wheelbarrow by William Carlos Williams. And it doesn't really have anything to do with God, but I kind of interpret God through this poem. It's very simple. No one has really figured out exactly what it means, but it's very short. So much depends upon a red wheelbarrow, glazed with rain, water, beside the white chickens. And to me, this is how I interpret the poem. For the first line, so much depends upon, for me, it so much depends upon God for all of that stuff to be possible. So I don't know if any of you are hippie poets like me, but I hope that made sense to you. I love how it says so much depends upon. So much depends upon God that I think sometimes we forget that our smallest problems are like a piece of cake for him. He's got it all worked out. He knows the number of hairs on our head. And he knows more about us than we know about ourselves. I think sometimes we forget that. So I want to encourage you all to think of all the ways you are blessed and all the ways you are provided for. Look at the beauty of life, however you interpret it. For me, I told you it's nature and the people in my life. But just think about how it consistently rains. The sun consistently comes up. The moon consistently goes through its cycles. The seasons change. It all just happens, and life just happens, and God is the one who's got it all under control. And there's a quote that says, when we take time to notice the simple things in life, we never lack encouragement. We discover we are surrounded by limitless hope that's just wearing everyday clothes. So there's encouragement God is breathing at us from all around. We just have to kind of stop, peel back the shutters of our immediate problems and our immediate discomforts and see that he's preparing us for an everlasting glory. And he's giving us a beautiful ride on the way there. So let's see where I'm at. Oh, I want to go back to that quote by Max Lucado. Got it right, Grandma. Last night I was like, is it Max Lucado? She's like, no, it's Max Lucado. I was like, I should know that because I went to Oral Roberts University. But anyways, listen to that quote again. God knows our needs and promises to provide for them. He knows our needs. He knows the promises that he's made us. We are to trust him with an attitude of thanksgiving and find contentment in what we are given. So thanksgiving in all things. I learned from my depression my freshman year of college, which I'm sure all of you have at one point or more hit a low spot. I've hit a couple low spots. And I learned to be thankful for what was happening to me because it made me stronger. It really did make me a better person, and it made me more human and more empathetic, and it made me see all the beautiful ways that God takes care of me. After feeling helpless, I realized that God only has hope for us, and that's how I got through all those situations. So there's a quote in this book that I really liked that talks about that hope that can come out of hopelessness. And it was actually a verse. It's 1 Samuel chapter 2, 8 through 9. And it says, God rekindles burned out lives with fresh hope, restoring dignity and respect to their lives, a place in the sun. For the very structures of the earth are God's. He has laid out his operation on a firm foundation, which basically goes back to what I was saying earlier about the earth being like an invisible little speck in the scheme of space and time and matter. And he's got it under control. And before I close, I wanted to read you a couple quotes from this book that are about hope that really, really inspired me. So the first one is called Beauty of His Peace. It's very poetic. It's by John Greenleaf Whittler. Drop thy still dews of quietness till all our striving cease. Take from our souls the strain and stress, and let our ordered lives confess the beauty of thy peace. And it makes me think of when the grass is dewy in the morning, and it's like God even takes the time to refresh our lawns before we wake up. This one is from Charles Dickens, and it says, reflect upon your present blessings, of which every man has many, not on your past misfortunes, of which all men have some. There are a million ways, I think, to be unhappy or to complain, but I think there are infinite ways to be grateful and to feel at peace. And there's one more that I'll read you by Helen Keller, and it's called Faith Illuminates the Way. Dark as my path may seem to others, I carry a magic light in my heart. Faith, the spiritual strong searchlight, illumines the way. And although sinister doubts lurk in the shadow, I walk unafraid toward the enchanted wood where the foliage is always green, where joy abides in the presence of the Lord. Which is a lot like, I think it's Psalm 23, although I walk in the shadow or the valley of the shadow of death, I shall not fear, for the Lord is my shepherd. So Helen Keller, we all know what she went through, and she was filled with abundant hope. So I hope I've encouraged you all today, whether you feel like God isn't providing for you or He isn't giving you the plans that you wanted, or maybe you're feeling down, God always provides. His plans are always better than ours. He's way smarter than I am. And God also is always blessing us. So just try to see everything as a blessing. Even if it doesn't look like a blessing, it is in some way. Everything He does to us is preparing us for an everlasting glory that we don't really understand now. It says we see now through a mirror dimly, but one day face to face. So we're not supposed to have it all figured out. That's what makes life beautiful, and that's what makes it a journey. But I do believe that God gives us a peace that surpasses peace. It surpasses all understanding. So let's look back one more time at Philippians chapter 4. And I just want to read you, we'll start at 1. And I will read you that part, just that passage. My dear brothers and sisters, I love you and want to see you. You bring me joy and make me proud of you. So stand strong in the Lord as I have told you. I ask, there's two names I don't know, to agree in the Lord. And I ask you, my faithful friend, to help these women. They serve with me in telling the good news together with Clement and others who worked with me, whose names are written in the book of life. This is the part that I really wanted to share with you all. Be full of joy in the Lord always. I say again, be full of joy. Let everyone see that you are gentle and kind. The Lord is coming soon. Do not worry about anything, but pray and ask God for everything you need, always giving thanks. And God's peace, which is so great that it surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, think about the things that are good and worthy of praise. Think about the things that are true and honorable and right and pure and beautiful and respected. Do what you learned and received from me, what I told you and what you saw me do, and the God who gives peace will be with you. So Paul is saying, focus on the beauty of life, and the peace of God will be with you. Be thankful in everything. Have positive thoughts. Sometimes we forget it, but we can control our thoughts most of the time. We can at least train our brain to have thought patterns that are positive or negative. And I spoke about that last time. When we do things in love, are you having happy, positive thoughts, or are you having more negative thoughts in life? And it kind of shapes the person that you are. And think about the people that you surround yourself with and which one they are, and the people that you surround yourself with also shape you. So instead of me closing us in prayer, I'm going to read Ephesians 1:18 and let that be our prayer today. Got to find it in my cute little pink book. So let's pray under Ephesians 1:18 through 19. I pray also that the eyes of your hearts may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That is really what I wanted to leave you all with today, that there is a richness in his peace, but we have to see it. It's a hidden treasure. It's kind of hard to get to, but it's there. So I hope that you were blessed by this today. Thank you so much for coming despite the weather, and I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week.